Jimmy Graham, I see, is in the middle of the field. Cundiff runs up, and he does. He lines it down the field, and the ball bounces at the 15, at the 20, and a run outside 30. And a cutback by Kyrie Robinson to the 35. They're chasing him down at the 40. And Jordan Poyer got him. The ball comes out. It's recovered by the Browns. And the Browns win!
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was the call of the kickoff that the Saints could not pull off a miracle and run back. Although I was there, I'm like, somebody go down there and tackle this guy. I'll go if I have to. I'm going to trip this guy. I don't care. He is not scoring here. But the Browns got it done. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, with the call on that one there. And it was big. Now, speaking of big, lots of great plays in this game, lots of great catches, and you can help decide who made this week's All-State Good Hands Play of the Game. You could win an autographed pair of gloves from the winning player as well. This week, the nominees were Gary Barnage, Andrew Hawkins, and Tashawn Gibson. So cast your vote right now at ClevelandBrowns.com, and good luck. You can win, as I said, gloves from whoever ultimately ends up winning that competition. We're going to go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. We've got Nick in Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm loving it, especially being here in Pittsburgh.
I know. We almost gave you something to really love last week as well.
It was a tough one, but I watched the game over with the Browns backers, and, I mean, I just want to call and tell. I want to thank all of Cleveland, and I know, Nathan, I know you were on the sidelines screaming with them. We could hear it through the TV. I was blown away by the crowd noise that you could even hear through the TV, and it was just an amazing experience. It was great. I loved it.
It was great. The crowd brought it, and that was something that really, when they kind of went through this idea to enhance the stadium and game day experience, it was to create an environment that was most conducive to bringing the dog pound back. Now, you need winning to do that competitive play. They got the plays. They got the excitement there. But this crowd, from bell to bell, I thought was phenomenal. You couldn't even hear yourself think on the field on a couple of times, and that's huge. I mean, what does that do for a player?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you feed off of it. I mean, the more you can – I mean, for Johnny to come in, of course, there was excitement. He had to lower everybody down. Coach Pettin on the sideline was like, lower it down. That is an amazing thing. And I think, you know, it might have been Carlos Dansby or maybe even Dante Whitner after the game that said that crowd noise was affecting Drew Brees, because an offense like that, you know, is predominantly a lot of hand communications, a lot of vocal communication, a lot of checks, you know, with the matchups. It affected them, and again, kudos to the crowd. I mean, what better way to not only show up in force to support your Cleveland Browns, but for them to reciprocate with a win is an awesome day.
It was awesome. The dog pound barking together. Roy out in California. We're going all over this great land as people are celebrating in the streets as the Browns are 1-1. Hey. What's up, Roy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to give props to that offensive line, man. I haven't seen the Browns run the ball this effectively in a long time. And the way they're pass protecting right now, how Brian Hoyer is able to hang in that pocket and stand with confidence, complete passes, is really a great thing. And I want to give a shout-out to Joel Petonio as well. I mean, what a great pick. I mean, people were dogging about the maybe they should have took a receiver at that pick, but the way they're running the ball right now and pushing people around, I really like the Joel Petonio pick.
What makes you feel good is that ultimately they had a plan. Their plan was to build an offense that was going to run the football. They weren't worried about getting these receivers on the outside. And now, you know, Josh Gordon should be back at some point this year, which is great. But their plan was to build a team that could control the clock, run the football, protect the quarterback, and get the most out of the talent it had on offense. And that all starts up front in the NFL. And that's why Betonio was here. And they were thrilled to get him. And you see the way he has played through two games. You don't know he's a rookie. He doesn't look like a rookie out there.
No, not at all. And I think what's really hard is the Cleveland Browns fan base has been sold, you know, on so many things time and time again. And what's really exciting and leaves all of us with optimism about this upcoming football season is Coach Mike Pettin has said, this is what we want to do. And we've seen them in two different games, you know, go out and execute and play within themselves. And we've lost one really close where we kind of crap down our leg in a first half. And then we've gone out and set a tone, and we've never deviated from his plan, and right. We can now see that turns into victories.
This is a Browns team now, like I said, that's running for 150 yards per game after the first two. They are running the ball incredibly effectively. That has been a hallmark of this team. And you got to tip your cap to Andy Moeller and George DeLeon, the offensive line coaches here, for doing a great job with a unit that hadn't been in a zone blocking scheme. That usually takes a while to adjust to. They have picked it up very, very quickly and very, very effectively. And that has been key to this offense and key to this team. John in Fostoria now joins us on the phones. What's up, John?
Hey, Nate, you guys are doing a great job enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Browns Victory Monday. Hey, yes. Just real quick, I haven't heard anybody talk about this, but it was the fourth to last play of the game. It was the completion on the sideline that they reviewed.
To Miles Austin.
There was about 8 seconds left on the clock. It seemed to me when he caught the ball there was round 11, and it didn't even look like the officials were going to address it. And then I think it was Hoyer who, right before they get in the huddle to run the last three plays of the game, looks at the head official and says, aren't you going to do something about the clock? And the head official, without even checking, just says, put 15 seconds on the clock. It actually gave the Browns an extra play. And I don't have the ability today to look back at that play, but if someone could look back at that play, when he catches the ball in the review process, there was 11 seconds left, and the official just magically took the clock from 8 to 15, basically giving us an extra play in the game, which – you know, it never hurts to have that little bit of support from the Stripe guys out there. So
as I understand it, when I watched it back, it was 15 when he was sliding out of bounds. So when they went through and reviewed that, they were reviewing two things. First, the catch, and then the clock. And I think they knew the clock, but they didn't say it. So that's why you had that little pause. They're like, wait a second, the clock's not right either. If it is a catch, you got to get the clock right, which they did and got to 15, which I thought was the right call ultimately. But it certainly helped the Browns out because that gives it basically double the time that they thought they were going to have to work with.
Sure, they were still allowed to throw an incompletion with a batted down ball. They lost, I think, 2 seconds maybe from 15 to 13.
Yep.
Were able to run a down the field combination out of that little cluster off to the right to get Hawkins wide open. As you said, keep him from, you know, get down on the ground. We don't need those extra 2 or 3 yards scrambling with a ball popping out. Billy Cundiff is a great kicker inside of 50 yards, and he did his job necessary.
He certainly did, and that was and then all of a sudden the eruption from the crowd. It's Jubilation City, as Dick Vitale would say, as when the Browns won there, driving from their own 4. If you would have told me this was a Browns team that was going to be averaging, 26.5 points a game after 2 weeks against the Steelers and the Saints, without Jordan Cameron for most of that, without Ben Tate for most of that, and without Josh Gordon for all of that, I would have said, man, that is crazy. But certainly a very strong performance by the Browns to get back to 1-1. And you can see, though, the plan in place being implemented, being bought into. That's what's most exciting to me, is that this team seems to have an identity and a purpose. That's something we haven't said about a Browns team for a while, and hopefully that will continue next Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll be back with three-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry. Three questions with Jerod right after this on CBD.